News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you for the program. And of course, this is the show where we have longer conversations about things you may have heard about on WSJM News as of late. We have more lengthy and in-depth conversations with the folks who are in the know or who are making things happen here in Michigan's Great Southwest. Plenty to talk about on today's program. Coming up on the show today, we'll talk with State Representative Kim Lasada. You know, the last few editions of Our Take, we've caught up with state lawmakers from Southwest Michigan to find out how they felt about 2017 and what their priorities are for 2018. Here we are in this new year. And so we'll chat with State Rep Lasada about what she feels were the biggest accomplishments of the state legislature last year and what she hopes the legislature will accomplish this year. Also on today's program, we'll find out about a crowdfunding campaign underway for the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center in St. Joseph. And we'll find out why they need to raise some money with the executive director of the Heritage Museum. And we'll check in with Michigan Blood to find out what they're dealing with right now in terms of the blood supply. They're hoping folks will come out and donate to the organization because blood donations have been drastically down lately. And finally, on today's program, we'll take a look at what St. Joe City Commissioners did last night, what they heard about a couple of local programs that were discussed at City Hall last evening. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. Right now, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll chat with State Representative Kim Lasada. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around, and we'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show. Plenty to talk about on today's program. So let's get into it. Our first guest on today's show is State Representative Kim Lasada, Republican of Bainbridge Township. You know, a year just ended and a new year just began. So I caught up with State Representative Kim Lasada and asked her what she felt were the biggest accomplishments for 2017 and what she's hoping the State House and legislature in general will accomplish in this new year, 2018. So let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Representative, so here we are. It's 2018 right now. And when you look back on 2017, what are the biggest accomplishments that you like to point to as positive things the state legislature was able to do last year?
Well, our teacher pension reform that we did so that we are in a better position as far as protecting teachers' pensions. Mm-hmm. That was a big one, and it also it protects the teachers that are there today. It protects their pensions. They'll be fully funded. We don't have to worry about that. And looking into the future, as far as teachers go, they're still getting a retirement 401k, which can be, you know, if they decide not to teach any longer, if they go to another job that has a 401k, it can just be transferred. So they're in more control of their retirement funds. Also, I think it was really important what Representative Pagel and I worked on as far as the homestead laws, the loophole that allowed people to claim a homestead exemption similar to one in another state. So we are now preventing that. And the greatest part of that is that all that money that is received goes directly to the schools. So the schools then, you know, whatever district those homes were in, whatever school district, that money goes directly to the schools. So that's a great benefit.
Okay, so that's a property tax loophole you and State Rep Pagel helped to close, enabling second homeowners to claim a homestead on their second property. That loophole is now closed, which you say generates money for schools. Anything else from 2017 you're proud of?
Being chair of higher education, working on the higher ed budget and having a cap as far as what the universities can charge as far as tuition. So putting a cap on that. Also working on adding boilerplate language to the higher ed budget that would make the universities give information to the committee, higher ed committee members, as far as the Title IX information, the sexual assault information. That was very important. And I think as we look into the future, higher ed, we will hold some hearings on what the state can do, what the universities can do to better protect our young adults. You know, as we see our kids go off to college, we know we don't have, you know, control over every aspect in their life. But if you know that they're going somewhere where they can be as safe as you know, possible, that's a big comfort as a parent.
Right. I know that you did write an op-ed related to a Michigan State University and sex assault as well.
Right. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. I mean, lots of things happen. Lots of people, I think, drop the ball, including Gretchen Whitmer, who now is asking for the President Simon to resign. It's interesting that she was an interim prosecutor in Ingham County at the time that these charges were being made, that you know, these young women were going to law enforcement and talking about what was happening to them. I think she really dropped the ball, and now she's using that to try, you know, asking for President Simon's resignation for political gain, which I just think it's appalling, and I just, you know, that's the bad part of politics. We should be, we're in a position where we can, we're supposed to be helping people, you know, regardless of our own political futures. We should be there to protect people and just look out for everyone. And having this position, you have, you know, somewhat of an advantage to do that.
So you have addressed trying to help Michigan universities and colleges prevent sex assault as a priority for this coming, well, for this year.
Yeah, we've got to do a better job. I mean, Michigan State is a great university and has a great reputation, and we want it to maintain, you know, that reputation. It benefits all of us in the state of Michigan.
Right, and in terms of the state legislature, looking at 2017, auto insurance reform, that didn't come through.
No, and that's something that I'm going to continue to fight for, to push for. You know, I have asked leadership if we're going to continue to work on auto no-fault reform, and it's of great importance in my district, our district. I know that just from knocking on doors. That was the number one issue that I heard from the constituents. You know, what are you going to do about my auto, you know, insurance? You know, help me. So I'm going to just keep, you know, working on that and trying to keep that in the forefront.
Right. I know all the state lawmakers I've talked to say they're not going to drop the issue of auto insurance reform in 2018.
Yeah, the majority of them are concerned about the auto insurance. Well, you know, you hear from a few that say, oh, you haven't heard anything from my constituents. Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not in their districts, but I find that hard to believe. I think it's something that we've got to take on. We've got to find relief for people.
Why do you think the effort to reform auto insurance in Michigan failed last year? Do you think maybe lawmakers were being a little too ambitious trying to tackle the whole system at once? I know State Rep Pagel told me he thinks maybe you should do it on a step-by-step basis.
Yeah, I think there needs to be more compromise. It's not, okay, we've got this bill and this is what we're going to do. We're not going to really do any major amendments or have any major amendments to it. This is our bill. This is our plan. So I think we definitely need more compromise. We need, the leadership really needs to listen to the other members. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we can work together and come up with a great plan. And it can't be, you know, the Senate plan, so the House isn't going to pass it, or vice versa. We got to work on it together, because that's how we're going to get things done.
Okay, we're talking with State Representative Kim Lasada about 2017 and 2018. So as we look to 2018 here, what are some other priorities for you in the State House?
Yeah, auto insurance, continue the discussion on the universities and protecting our young adults. I want to continue to work on, I'm working on getting more funding to our cities and townships. So work towards that, finding ways to provide them more resources. I'm interested, too, in looking at ways to get the message out there for people in my district, in the 79th district, on how they can or they should reach out to me, you know, with their concerns. I think we do a great job in my office as far as constituent services, but I don't think that the majority of people know that, you know, they can call Lansing if they have a problem or an issue. So I think just getting that message out more, and I think as I do more coffee hours and meet with more people, you know, hopefully the word will spread and that'll happen.
One thing I've heard a lot about is skilled trades training. What do you think, what are you expecting on that front?
Yeah, I'm fully supportive of promoting our skilled trades, and something that is being worked on right now that I'm 100% behind is our students that are in high school that are taking skilled trade courses. It's important that if they do go on to higher education institution, that the credits they've received transfer to those universities. That's a tricky issue right now. There are universities that only allow certain credits or only accept certain credits. I think it's tricky because, you know, you have an institution like University of Michigan, for example. Of course, I mean, they didn't become the number one state university in the nation because they have a low academics or you know, they have a high standard. So schools like that are hesitant in accepting different credits. So we need to work on that so that if a student is taking courses, that those credits will be transferred. So, you know, we need to work with the universities, the community colleges, and the high schools. We all need to work together to figure out a plan to allow those things to happen.
We've been talking with State Representative Kim Lasada. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Looking forward to working together with my fellow legislators, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, and more compromise, and looking forward to getting some positive things done for our state so that our state continues to grow and become stronger.
Okay, that was State Representative Kim Lasada reviewing 2017 for us, looking ahead to 2018. She identified several priorities in the year ahead. One thing she'd like to do is work with universities and colleges to help them come up with policies that help to prevent sexual assault on campus. She had some thoughts there about the president of Michigan State University as well. And, of course, she's looking forward to tackling auto insurance reform once again in the year ahead. We appreciate State Representative Kim Lasada's time on Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and right now it's time for a quick break. When we come back, we will chat with the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center in St. Joe to find out about their crowdfunding effort. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to the program. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you for this Tuesday edition of the show. And for this segment of the show, we've got a couple of guests. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll talk with Michigan Blood to find out about a shortage of donations they've been experiencing and what you can do to help. coming up this week and really for the rest of the month. But right now, I wanted to check in with the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center. They are a fine institution in St. Joseph, and they recently had a problem. There was some damage done in their building. They had some flooding due to an issue with the HVAC system. And they have launched a fundraising campaign, a crowdfunding campaign, asking folks, supporters, to chip in and donate so they can replace the HVAC system. I talked with the executive director of the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center, Elizabeth Andrews, about this effort. So let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Elizabeth. So it was in December, early December, some damage was discovered at the Heritage Museum.
Yes, it was in one of the coils in one of the air handlers actually froze and then ruptured, and it created a rather a small but very substantial leak throughout the entire building.
Now, luckily, most of your archives were not damaged, though, right?
Correct, yes. We were extremely fortunate. We did have, you know, some water damage to some of our paper archival documents and things. They were part of our presidential collection, but we quickly rectified that by sending them off to a restoration process in a place, in Chicago that will be restoring those for us. But other than that, no, our archives were completely dry, and that is the big storage facility, basically, where all our materials are kept that aren't currently on exhibit. But no, we did not lose any of the other exhibit pieces or any artifacts. Our archives are safe and dry, so that we were just extremely fortunate about.
So what's been going on there since that flooding was discovered? You've been doing repairs, correct?
We're still, actually, as of this week, we are finishing the drying out process, and I had no idea how long these kind of things take. I've never experienced such extensive water damage. So basically, the ServPro people were here right away that day, like literally within minutes, and started the drying out process, turned off the water, of course, you know, removed any standing water, and then instantly brought in all the drying equipment. They had these huge tubes. The place looked like a giant hamster park for adults. Giant tubes that went everywhere in the building, up the stairs, down the stairs, in all the hallways, and basically forcing cool, dry air throughout the whole building to dry out, you know, what was possible to dry out. And, of course, there was a lot of damage to drywall, the walls throughout the building, carpets, this kind of thing. Ceiling tiles just fell left and right. All that will have to be repaired, restored and repaired, and some, you know, a great deal of reconstruction. And none of that has started. Like I said, we're just finishing the drying out process right now.
Okay, and so, but you have launched a crowdfunding effort. Now, this is specifically to replace the HVAC system, correct?
Correct. And here's the interesting thing about all of it. We had, our plan was to launch this campaign later this winter, actually, but with all this happening, we were like, you know, we need to do this now, because we had discovered that the HVAC equipment needed to be repaired and some parts of it replaced, and this was something that we were well aware of. Okay, so how are we going to raise money to do this? Well, we received a wonderful grant from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs in the amount of $50,000. And, of course, it's a matching grant, so we have to raise $50,000 in order to receive this. So we were, you know, our plan was to launch that later, like I said, in February, and then this happened, and it's like, you know, we have to get this done now. Heaven forbid this happens again to one of the other coils in the other part of the HVAC system. So it was kind of a giant push for us to, okay, let's do this now. This happened. We needed to get this repaired, so let's move forward and get it done now. So we are really hoping that our community can come out and support us and raise the additional funds to match this grant so we can get moving and replace this equipment and repair the equipment that we need to.
Okay, so you can go to the website. I'll have a link to it in our story.
Great. Thank you.
Are you just looking for any donations, great and small, anything people can give?
Absolutely. And I believe it's patronicity.com/cupola. And the cupola is that very iconic structure on top of the building. It's absolutely beautiful. And so that was the tagline we put on the campaign. So we hope to keep the cupola up forever so people know we're here.
Okay, and you know, you've got some pretty dedicated supporters of the Heritage Museum who could possibly contribute to this effort.
And we are so very grateful. And some of those are anonymous, so I can't say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are people that are very passionate about the work that we do here, that we do for the community, and they instantly stepped forward and said, "Boom, here you go." But we are accepting donations, like you said, great and small. If you can contribute $10. Awesome. If you want to walk in off the street and hand us $10, we are all about it. But the campaign is set up, you know, how they lock in different levels of that, but we are accepting all amounts of donations, and our goal is to raise this additional $50,000 in 30 days so we can match this grant and, you know, get these much-needed repairs happening very soon.
Okay, we've been talking with Elizabeth Andrews, Director of the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center in St. Joe. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, just we really appreciate the community's support. We are, of course, all of us very anxious and ready to move forward and get this done and get us up and running as soon as possible. And I know construction and restoration take a great deal of time, but we are hopeful that all our ducks are in a row and the people are in place to do this work that has to be done so we can move forward and open our doors very soon.
Okay, that was Elizabeth Andrews, Executive Director of the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center in St. Joe. They are raising money online with a crowdfunding campaign to replace the HVAC system. And we have a link to the page where you can donate at WSJM.com. If you Google Heritage Museum crowdfunding WSJM, that'll find the right page for you. And you click the thing and you can go to patronicity.com, where they have this crowdfunding campaign posted. So far, they've raised $20,500. Now, my conversation with Elizabeth there took place about a week ago, and they've raised more since then. So they're at $20,000. The goal is $50,000. They've got 12 days to go. So head on over there and make a contribution so the Heritage Museum can replace its HVAC system. Newstalk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and speaking of things you can do to have a positive impact on your community, Michigan Blood, they are an organization that collects blood supplies and distributes them to hospitals all over Michigan. Last week, they put out a call asking people to come forward and donate blood because they've been experiencing a shortage. I caught up with Michigan Blood's Maria Morbach about that. So let's find out what they're dealing with over at Michigan Blood right now. Okay, Maria, so you've put out notice here. Michigan Blood has seen not the best trend because of the recent weather. Tell us what's happening over at Michigan Blood lately.
Yeah, so we've been experiencing really low donations. Weather is really keeping people away, and we're trying to encourage people to come out if they can, even if the weather is bad, because hospitals can never close.
Okay, and obviously I'm assuming that the weather is the reason for the drop in donations.
Yeah, and we typically see a drop during the holidays, or like around the holidays as well.
So how low is the blood supply for Michigan Blood right now?
It's pretty low. We're at the point where a few bad accidents could put our supplies critically low.
And why is it important for you to have a strong supply?
Well, we supply over 60 hospitals in the state of Michigan, and we're the sole provider for the Lakeland Health Systems out here, so it's really important that we can help our hospitals so they can help the patients.
So if somebody wants to help and make a blood donation, what should they do?
Well, you can make an appointment, or you can just come in. The St. Joe Donation Center is open on Wednesdays from 12 to 7.
How much of a difference can a single blood donation make?
It can save up to three lives. One donation can save up to three lives, depending on the circumstance.
All right, so we're talking to Maria Morbach with Michigan Blood about their request that folks get out and donate blood. Is there anything else you'd like to add right now, Maria?
Just that doctors and nurses can never get days off. The hospitals can never close, so it's really important to also just keep those donations coming. And I know that everyone's still kind of busy from the holidays, but if they can make it happen, it would really help us out a lot.
Do you typically see the same donors come out repeatedly for Michigan Blood?
Yeah, we see a lot of the same donors, but we also get a lot of new donors as well, which we really appreciate.
There you go. That's Michigan Blood. They are open in St. Joe on Wednesdays from noon to 7. And you're asked to call to make an appointment if you want to make a blood donation, but I have a feeling if you just show up on a Wednesday between noon and 7, they won't turn you away. One donation can save three lives. They are very low on the blood supplies. So is the Red Cross because of the weather we've been having lately. people donate less this time of year anyway. And so they're facing some extra pressure over there at Michigan Blood, as well as the Red Cross. So show up there and make a blood donation. Why don't you give the gift of life? News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and right now it's time for a break. When we come back, we'll find out about what Lake Michigan College has planned for next week. It's Martin Luther King Day on Monday, and they have a whole week of events taking place at LMC. We'll learn about that on the next segment of the show. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show. I've been the host today. My name is Andrew Breen. Glad to have you. This is the show where we have longer conversations with folks who are in the know or who are making things happen here in Michigan's Great Southwest. If you've heard about it on WSJM News lately, you'll hear about it on Our Take, but we have a little more time to discuss whatever the subject is. And to close out today's edition of the program, I thought we'd get a preview of what's taking place next week at Lake Michigan College. Starting next Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. celebrations all throughout the week. Every year, Lake Michigan College recognizes Martin Luther King Day with their breakfast celebration, and they give out the diversity award, and then they have different events throughout the entire week to mark this occasion. So I've spoken with one of the individuals who has helped to organize next week's event at Lake Michigan College. I've spoken with LMC diversity consultant Danny Sledge to get a preview of next week's events and what you can take part in. The entire community is invited to come out to Lake Michigan College next week in the spirit of unity and diversity. I talked with Danny Sledge about next week's program. Let's hear that conversation now. All right. I know every year Lake Michigan College holds an event to mark Martin Luther King Day. Why is it important for Lake Michigan College to recognize Martin Luther King Day each year?
Well, I think it's important because Lake Michigan College is an educational institution, and it has the commitment and responsibility to help to educate young people not only about the academic subject matters, but life matters as well. And Dr. King was a significant figure in the United States in terms of his advocacy for social justice and what have you. So it's important that we continue to remember him and keep his legacy alive. And this is also an important time where the community, not just the college, but the entire community, can come together and really to celebrate, to recognize the legacy of this national hero.
Great, and I know that the 23rd annual Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast celebration and award ceremony will be Monday. You're one of the speakers.
Yes.
Now, tell us a bit about the award ceremony.
Well, in this program, there's a lot going on. There will be a keynote speaker, Dr. Rufus Glasper, who is the president and CEO of the League for Innovations in the Community Colleges. Dr. Glasper is also Chancellor Emeritus of the Maricopa Community College System, which is the largest multi-college community college system in the United States. In addition, we'll have some student performances. We'll also have all God's Children Community Choir participating. I'll make some remarks, and then Dr. Kabatsky and the board will recognize the MLK Diversity Award recipient for Lake Michigan College.
Can you tell us a little more about the Diversity Award? Who does it, what, you know, why would someone receive the award?
Well, it's important for us to recognize individuals in our community who have been very active in advancing the diversity and inclusion agenda. Those individuals who are committed to social justice, not only in words, but in their actions. So this is an opportunity for the college to recognize an individual or an organization in our community who has been very forward-thinking and acting in terms of diversity and inclusion.
Great, and so that award will be announced, and I know there's events going on pretty much all week.
Yes, we're really excited because this week we're returning to a full week of activities on Tuesday. From 12 to 3 in the Brown Lecture Hall, we will be viewing the movie Detroit. And that movie really is about the 1967 Detroit riots and a specific incident that happened in the Algiers Motel. So we will be viewing that movie, and then there'll be a short panel discussion to talk about what was occurring between law enforcement and the community at that time, and what's occurring between law enforcement and the general communities now. What progress have we made, or have we not made any progress? So that should be exciting. On Wednesday the 17th, from noon until 1, in the gymnasium, we're doing a privilege walk activity. So we're going to be discussing the whole concept of privilege, what it is, and then we're going to be doing this really interesting, exciting activity that sort of demonstrates that while we may, some may say that we all start at the same place, depending on things outside of our control in our lives, we end up perhaps in different spaces. And then finally, on Thursday the 18th, from 12 noon until 2 p.m., in the Blue Lecture Hall, the Race Relations Council of Southwest Michigan will be doing a panel discussion on the status of race relations in Berrien County. And the Race Relations Council of Southwest Michigan has partnered with LMC for a number of years now to do these panel discussions, and we're excited that they're able to do that again for us this year.
Great. So it's a busy week, and you know, is the entire community welcome to come out to these events? I know you do have to RSVP for the breakfast, right?
Yes, the entire community is welcome and encouraged to come to any and all of these events if they would like. Again, it is for the community as well as the students, faculty, and staff at the college. And you're right that individuals should make a reservation to come to the breakfast on Monday, and they can do that either by going online to www.LakeMichiganCollege, all one word, and /MLK, or they can actually get in touch with Angela Kurtz via her email, which is akurtz, that's K-U-R-T-Z, @lakemichigancollege.edu, or they can call and make a reservation at 269-927-6197. That's 269-927-6197.
All right, the deadline to RSVP for the breakfast is January 11th. Is there anything else you'd like to add about next week's events at Lake Michigan College?
Well, I'd just like to share that the theme for this year is the cost of silence. And so we really are going to be talking about the importance of standing up for and voicing, using your voice to talk about things that really matter to you. Dr. King said that our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And so our thing is going to be the cost of silence, and we're encouraging people to use their voice.
All right, that was Danny Sledge, Lake Michigan College diversity consultant, telling us about next week's Martin Luther King celebrations over at Lake Michigan College. They mark Martin Luther King Day every year with the breakfast and awards, diversity awards ceremony. And there's events going on all week. On Tuesday, there will be a screening of the movie Detroit. This is a film which came out last year about racial tensions in Detroit back during the 1960s. On Wednesday, they'll have the Privilege Walk and discussion. And then Thursday is the Race Relations Council Forum. There's student activities going on all week. The whole community is invited to all these events. If you want to attend Monday's breakfast, you need to RSVP, and you need to do that by January 11th. If you want to RSVP, you go to lakemichigancollege.edu/MLK. And that's what's happening next week at Lake Michigan College. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for another edition of Our Take. I've been your host. My name is Andrew Green. I appreciate you tuning in. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. We should be back same time, same station tomorrow. In the meantime, have a fantastic rest of your day.